Hey, this is actress Carissa Lee Staples, and you're listening to the O Brother Podcast.
Welcome to the O Brother Podcast with hosts Dan and Mike Smith, brothers from the same mother with different opinions on movies, TV, video games, and more, plus celebrity interviews. Get ready, get set, it's time for the O Brother Podcast. Welcome to the O Brother Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Smith. Alongside me, as always, my brother from the same mother, Mike Smith.
Hey,
Starting
off with a bit, folks.
No, I just got my DoorDash. Got a little crow here to eat. And I'm going to save a taste for you.
So let's get into that debate. All right. So
it's a little like chicken.
For those who might be listening or watching, check it out on YouTube. Mike is holding up some stuffed animal crow.
Crow, yeah.
Is it a turkey? Is that even a crow?
No, I have it disguised.
Knowing you ordered a crow on Amazon or something. Yeah, using that Prime account. What the hell is that?
Yeah, that's the feet of the crow.
Your props, like. We did the episode on the SAG after a strike and the writers and the actor strike, and it took me until after watching that episode to realize it was a spatula that you used to fashion a protest sign.
That's right. That's
right.
That
was brilliant. Yeah.
I am now.
Meanwhile,
known
mom's
as,
in the kitchen trying to make brownies. And, you know.
I'm now the prop podcaster.
Yeah, he's a prop comic, folks.
Me and Carrot Top.
Yeah, it's Mike Top. But all right, so the crow reference, because one of the things, so we're doing an episode on Barbie. Let's get that out of the way. It's the long-awaited O Brother Podcast episode on Barbie.
We did a first look.
Yeah, hold on. So Barbie came out 21st of July, hit theaters, directed by Greta Gerwig. You might know her from Lady Bird. She was in Jackie. Mm-hmm. And it was written by Noah Baumbach, who they've collaborated before.
They're friends.
Yeah. You know, he wrote, I think, and directed Marriage Story with Adam Driver Scarlett Johansson. Yeah.
I have that on Criterion.
Of course, Margot Robbie stars as the stereotypical Barbie, we'll talk about that. Ryan Gosling is Ken. A lot of actors and actresses in this. Issa Rae, just to name a few. Kate McKinnon, Will Ferrell, Alexandra Shipp, Simu Liu. Of course, it was narrated by Helen Mirren, which was kind of fun.
Rhea Perlman
is in it. That's right. John Cena makes an appearance, which was funny. We did a first look on this a couple of months ago. I remember you had said, who's the audience for this?
Yeah.
Right? Questioning who's going to go to this? Well,
yes.
Apparently a lot of people
are
going to this. And
hence the crow eating at the beginning of the episode.
Well, a couple of other quotes from that first look episode.
And
we can roll tape here to go flashback as to what, well, you and I both said, I'm not throwing you under the bus.
Right.
I'm just saying you called it a last look.
Right. I thought we both did.
Well, I said this is going to be a final look. And I said it was not a film that I was going to go see.
Right.
But you had more to say about it than I did. You said it's not going to make its money back.
Yes.
And
I had $100 million, I would not invest it on this movie.
That's exactly what you said. Now, you said this isn't going to make its money back. No way, Mike said.
I did.
You emphasize that because I went back and watched the first look myself. I had to see what went down. So where are we at with the numbers?
Our producer, Naomi, who has moved on to greener pastures.
Greener pastures or greater pastures? I think
It was greener.
I don't think going out to pasture is a good thing in it, you know, in and of itself. But anyways,
But she cut out some other comments that, because I said more negative things than just those.
Right. But all right. So where are the numbers today? It's not going to make its money back. In its first weekend, it made almost $170 million.
Yeah. It's getting close. I think it's over $800 million.
Yeah. $823 million worldwide as of this recording.
Right. And it's in its third weekend now, starting tonight. It's projected to be the number one movie yet again. I think the first time this year we'll have a movie number one 3 weeks in a row. And it's projected to make another $52 million. So this thing is going to skate past the billion.
Well, so clearly now, you were wrong on those.
I was wrong. I admit it. I'm usually pretty good.
Yeah, and now you saw it before I did. I
saw it opening weekend.
Yeah, I'm fresh off of seeing it last night.
Right, and Dan went out dressed as Ken.
Yeah, I went out with the Barbie squad, and I was dressed as Ken. And
you and three Barbies.
Yeah, now
I can't get one.
So set it up. Give us the real quick premise on this.
Well, basically, Margot Robbie, who was producer before she was added as an actor, she wanted Gal Gadot to do Barbie. I can't say enough good things about Margot Robbie in this film. She was fantastic. She's a stereotypical Barbie. She starts, you know, as a doll, you know, in a doll's life, and then starts to have human feelings and decides to try to visit, finds out there's like a real world and wants to go visit this real world and eventually comes back.
Well, and she's kind of guided in that adventure by talking to Weird Barbie, who was played very well by Kate McKinnon.
Very funny.
It was actually a very good part for
her.
Very
funny.
That was one of the things, I'll eat crow on that, because I kind of was sarcastically saying, oh, I'm excited that Kate McKinnon is in this. Because,
yes,
you know, she played every character on Saturday Night Live for like the last three seasons. And so it was getting a bit much, but she was really good. And she's the one who kind of connects the dots for Barbie as to why, like, what is happening that's making her feel these things. And it all starts with her going flat-footed because, of course, Barbie has the stereotypical up on the, you know.
And that's almost the opening shot.
Right.
Her on her tip is a great shot by Greta Gerwig.
Yeah.
And, you know, as an actor, she had to maintain that posture through that opening sequence.
Well, that was effects. That was not her walking.
No, I've read it.
No.
Greta Gerwig.
Maybe for 2 seconds, but trust me,
Greta Gerwig has come out and said there was no CGI at all.
I'm not buying that for 1 second. I'm not buying that for 1 second. That's
honestly, I think it was an interview on Teen Beat, which I didn't even know existed anymore.
Wow. But as you point out, she's living in Barbie world, right? And then she ends up, you know, traveling over to the real world, as it were, to figure out what's going on. And of course, Ken follows her.
Yes.
There. And he discovers that, well, he loves the real world because it's all about the patriarchy there.
It's a man's world.
It's a man's world, right?
Yeah. That song should have been in it. It's a man's world.
Yeah. Although there was some very interesting musical references in the film, like the whole Matchbox 20 thing. We can talk about that.
Right.
So the film opens. Now, spoiler alert, because we're going to, you know, give some spoilers here. This homage to 2001 A Space Odyssey. So like right off the bat, I'm getting a nod to Kubrick and I'm just like, all right, Greta, I'm in for the ride here. I'm loving it. And there were some other references there that made me laugh throughout the movie. Like this was this Godfather reference in there that you must have laughed at that.
Yes.
Again, playing on the whole, you know, patriarchy kind of machismo masculine, sort of toxic masculinity. Right. And then there's a Zack Snyder Justice League snub. Did you pick up on that? This was all over the internet.
I think I did.
Yeah, one of the Barbies, there's this snub to well, Greta talks about it and says it's not really a snub.
Well, I mean,
it was done out of love, but.
And the movie itself, which is produced half by Mattel, because Mattel is the creator of Barbie.
Right.
They take shots at Mattel.
Yeah, sure.
Throughout.
Yeah, they do.
You know, their failures.
Right.
There was a tax situation that they brought up. I was kind of stunned.
Which that's what kind of ended her, was it Ruth Handler, right?
Yes. Who's the
inventor, along with, now see, I had it wrong. I thought Barbie had been invented by a man, mm-hmm. which was the irony of Barbie. But that, of course, wasn't true because Rhea Perlman, who you mentioned is in it, plays, I guess she's playing Ruth Handler, right?
Yes.
And so, but she designed Barbie with a guy named Jack Ryan, mm-hmm. ironically, who also, talking about, you know.
Yeah, not to do with Tom Clancy. Yeah.
Right, but who also, Jack Ryan invented like Chatty Cathy and some other famous. But maybe that's where some of that came from. Because there was a dispute between the two of them as to who was the brains behind the design.
Right.
And I didn't realize this too, that Ruth Handler, you know, she goes on this trip to Germany. She sees these Build Lily dolls that are popular in Germany is what inspires her to get the idea to go back to the States and pitch this idea ultimately to Mattel. Because her husband, Elliot Handler, was working with, is it Harold Mattson? And then that's where Mattel comes from. It's Mattson and Elliot. Okay. It's their names fused together is where that comes from.
You did a deeper dive on that.
But what I loved about that story with those dolls is just as Greta Gerwig, you know, explains in the opening sequence of the film, narrated by Helen Mirren, is how, you know, dolls were always sort of like babies. And so the kids that would play with them were kind of taking the caretaker motherly sort of role. Mm-hmm. But this kind of like sort of flipping that and, you know, making the dolls into an adult version, I thought was pretty interesting. And she sets all that up in the opening sequence of the film.
The opening,
which was just fantastic.
Yeah, the opening 20 minutes, and I think it ends with her sliding down the slide into a fake pool. That's right. To me, that was the opening. That's mm-hmm. where, okay, that was all startup, and now the movie starts. Right. One thing in the first look, we did a very early first look. I don't know what the date was, but...
Well, it was a couple months ago, like I said. It was
a pretty short trailer at the time.
This, I'm so glad you mentioned this, okay? Yeah. Because when it opened, like you said, first 20, whatever, I'm like, this is going to be, I see already why, like, this is going to be a fantastic movie. And I really liked it. So I'm just going to put mm-hmm. that out there. I thought it was a really well done film. I think it could have been excellent. It was just a little slow in some.
I agree. There's some negatives that I'll bring
there's
up.
There's a few negatives. The pacing was a little slow. I think it got a little convoluted when America Ferrara came into it. I loved her. She was great.
She does a monologue, right, that explains the entire thing.
Fantastic monologue,
right?
By the
great
way.
Great monologue.
Yeah.
And then they should have wrapped it up.
Right.
Because she laid it all out so perfectly.
Right.
And then it went on for another 20 minutes.
Which isn't a long, I mean, it's less than a 2-hour film.
Right.
You know.
But, you know, like, I often bring up movie length, and I've been criticized online. Like, somebody recently said, well, it takes what it takes. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily. You can tell a story, you know, different ways.
Yeah.
And there's always things that are superfluous.
Well, but as the creator, right? I mean, you're... You know, I think that has to be judged by the creator of the film, you know?
Yeah.
It's however long they feel it takes to tell the story they want to tell.
But things like you brought up John Cena.
John Cena, it was funny. Yeah.
That should have been cut.
He's in it. He's barely in it. It's just
I know, but...
That's like saying Simu Liu shouldn't be in it. I mean,
little
Michael Cera. Now, Michael Cera's character.
I thought that was funny.
But it was funny, but you could have cut that out and I wouldn't have missed that character at all.
Yeah, but for people
it was really weird.
You know, we're Barbie fans, and a lot of this is nostalgia for a lot of kids who played with Barbies because they had the Allen and they had the dog that pooped, you know, which was bizarre.
I don't remember the Allen.
Yeah, there was
that
an
was a
Allen.
Real thing?
Yes.
It was funny because we're talking about, we had already established that there's a lot of Kens, there's a lot of different Barbies in it, right? And one of the Barbies, did they have a pregnant Barbie? Did they really have a?
Okay. Yes. In fact, how did I confirm that? With our niece, Lydia. She said, okay. I had that Barbie.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes.
Well, that's fairly recent. But
yeah.
Well, no, but I mean, it's not like it was in the 60s or something.
No, but
it's only 20 like, something years ago.
She played with it a couple years ago.
It's only 20 something years ago.
Right.
You know, so, but Midge, who is the pregnant
that's
Barbie.
That's the name, right, Midge.
Did you know, I didn't realize this. Midge was played by Emerald Fennell, who directed Promising Young Woman.
Oh, another good movie.
Which we did an episode on, too. Yeah, so there was a lot. I mean, there was Dua Lipa. There were so many people in it that you could watch it four or five times and still not see all the references, you know?
Yeah, and I know a lot of them are friends, you know?
Sure.
The writer, Greta. Yeah. Greta Gerwig, you know, I know she was a friend of Michael Cera. Yeah. So it was probably a fun time, but I don't know if you know this or not. Margot Robbie is Australian. Did you know that?
No, I don't think I did know that.
She has a normal American accent that she uses in those other movies.
Did you hear what you just said? She has a normal American accent. So if it's not American, it's not normal, folks.
Well,
send your comments to Mike at OHBpodcast.com, folks.
Hannah or Christian might need to cut that out. But Jesus.
No, I think that stays in.
But she has an accent that she uses in the movies to hide her Australian, her normal
actress.
Speaking voice. I know. But if you hear her normal speaking voice, right, and then you hear her playing somebody like Tonya Harding or whoever.
Or Tonya Harding, for that matter.
She specifically changes her voice again in this movie to sound like a stereotypical Barbie.
What's the Barbie voice? It's a doll.
Well, I'm sure at some point they had the old Chatty
Cathy.
Okay,
the point is she's an actress and she can change her accent. That's the point. I'm not sure
but
where that was going.
To this degree was stunning to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. When I heard her start to speak, I thought that's a doll speaking. You know, that sounds like a doll. And you brought up the Chatty Cathy doll.
What did you eat today? What do you want? It's a weird point you're making about how she really captured the essence of the doll's accent. What are you talking about?
I'm just saying how, you know, when we're always talking about
it
how
was
British
very,
people.
I think what you're talking about is it was very robotic and kind of animated and very sort of plastic and
exactly.
rigid, you know, whatever. Right. Right. What you might imagine a doll's accent to be. How's that?
Correct.
How's
correct.
That? Let me circle back because we got way off track when I was trying to make a point about the trailer that you brought up, which is seeing the film made me realize how terrible the trailer was.
Yeah.
That was an awful trailer for this film.
I agree. And
it made it
to
seem like
that.
And I think that had a lot to do with your initial impression and our initial impression.
It did.
Kind of like, man, this is goofy, this, that, the other thing, not realizing what the film really was about.
Which, as it was coming up to release date, I said to you flat out, I'm not going to see Barbie. I'm just not going to do it.
Right.
And
what
you said, yes, you are.
Because we're doing an episode on it.
Right.
You and said, here we are, folks. Going. And Mike really liked it.
And I liked it. And I forget where I was going with that. Damn it.
This is why we got Hannah and Christian.
Right. That's you had said something that I was going
to. And let's welcome Hannah and Christian formally to the podcast. So we've got a couple of new production assistants that are going to be working with us through the fall. Christian and Hannah, we're excited to see their work. This is going to be their first foray into the podcast world, at least for editing this podcast. So all of the editing and the promotion that you'll see will be from. These
looking
two
forward to
artists.
Them after you know we met with them on Zoom and I don't know if you met with anyone in person. Did you were
no.
they all Zoom?
No,
they also. Both seem like real happy, enthusiastic. I'm really looking forward to seeing
till they get their hands on the raw footage of this episode. When, we'll see how they feel about working with us. But you know, so there's this talk about a couple of the like. What's the message here? What's the message in the film?
You know, that's where I was going.
Okay.
When I watched the trailer and I told you I'm not going, that's when we had a conversation, and I was like, it's a movie about a doll. And you said to me something I didn't get from the trailer. You said, no, this is about the empowerment of women.
Right.
And right. It was like a slap in the face. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, how did I not see that that's what they were going to do?
Yep.
But as you mentioned, the trailer was pretty poor.
Yeah, it was bad. And it's about that. And then, there is this kind of toxic masculinity that is, of course, so you're either going to be able to embrace that and be okay with that, or you're going to need to probably take a look at yourself if you're a man and have an issue with this film. Because,
yeah,
I think Greta did an amazing job, and Noah as well, from a writing standpoint of, getting the message across in the way that they did. With a lot of it was just kind of meta kind of stuff, and through humor, mm-hmm. a lot of it. But here's what I one of the things I felt about it with Ryan Gosling, by the way, this is maybe one of my favorite performances of his because of
a lot of criticism.
Is there? Well, we'll talk about that in a second. Yeah, tell me about that, because he starts off as very kind of, hey, Barbie, and he's very sort of, and he's
jealous of another Ken.
Jealous of it. And he just does this 180 that I thought was really beautifully done. And it kind of got a little dark. But again, when he goes to the real world and it's kind of just like intoxicated by the masculinity and all of the patriarchal stuff. But it made me realize, and we were talking about this when we walked out of the film, I said I really liked it, and I loved the messaging. I thought it was wonderfully done. But I said, first of all, this movie's it's 20 years too late. I mean, I'm glad it's here. It needed to be said, but it's like it could have been said a long time ago.
Right, of course.
But it needed Greta to do what she did with it. And as you said, Margot's backing and all of that. But we need a Ken movie. We need a Ken movie because they touch on that aspect of this whole thing, right? The kind of toxic masculinity piece. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I felt they could have gone deeper into, maybe not in the Barbie movie, but in all seriousness, with the way men are brought up and the way men are raised, and that it's okay to be vulnerable as a man, right? Mm-hmm. Like you could do a whole Ken movie on that. I want to see that. I want to see that movie.
And I thought that toxic masculinity section went on a bit long.
Well, it was really funny. I mean, it was funny.
They all had to get a horse and, they were doing these manly things.
He lived in his, it's not the Barbie house or the dream house now. It was his Mojo Dojo Casa house.
Yeah.
And they're like, you don't need to say casa and house.
I think it was Rosario. Mojo
or Dojo.
Right. I think that was Rosario or Dojo. Dawson's response to him.
Sorry, Dawson. America Ferrara.
America Ferrara. I'm sorry. I was just looking at another movie with her. I mean, I was looking at Ahsoka.
Yeah.
So that she's in my brain.
You're thinking of my cat.
Ahsoka. Yeah. Yeah. Who made a.
So what's the criticism of Ryan Gosling in this?
Well, the word is, he's too old. The age difference was too much. That's what I'm not saying that.
First of all, did you see the guy? He looks amazing.
I know.
I mean, good Lord.
And they look like they're the same age.
They look fantastic.
I mean, they're
together.
Very made up to look, their skin is very
made up. Absolutely.
But that's what a lot of people are saying, that he's too old to play it. And now, I'm like,
who's saying, like, where did you see this?
I read that in an article.
What's interesting is that's usually criticism that's levied at women more so than men in film, right?
Because
women have to suffer that much more than men do.
Yeah, like
in terms of the age discrimination,
right? Like Leah Thompson, if you've ever read interviews with her, she's famous for Back to the Future. She's talked about that, how once she had a kid, they dropped her like a stone.
Justine Bateman,
mm-hmm.
Jason Bateman's sister, who was in Family Ties with Michael J. Fox, who was in Back to the Future with. Yeah, but with Leah Thompson.
We tied that all together.
Well, and the reason I bring that up is because Justine Bateman has been very vocal about aging, especially being a woman aging in Hollywood. So it's not only you're a woman, you're in Hollywood, and you're aging. It's like three strikes and you're out.
You know, in the corporate world, it's the same thing.
Oh, sure.
Look at the Senate. You know, I mean, it's all old white guys.
You meant the Barbie Senate, the Barbie Supreme Court. That's all.
I know. And the Barbie president.
Now,
here's something that shocked me, and I don't know if you caught it with maybe some of the there was two F-bombs thrown in there. Did you catch those?
I don't think they were full-on F-bombs, so I think they were kind of like it kind of drifted off.
No, one was Will Forte when they were chasing. I mean, Will Forte. Will Ferrell.
Okay, I'm like, Will Forte was in it?
No, Will Ferrell. He was like, played the president of Mattel.
Maybe that one I remember. Yeah.
He like fell over and you could hear.
Okay. Oh, I think I remember that one. Yeah.
And there was another one. And then at the end, they bleeped one, Mother Effer, which kind of shocked me.
Okay.
Which was the black president that said it.
Oh, yeah. She's coming down the stairs in a very
correct.
Kind of empowered scene saying
exactly,
you know, yeah, that was funny. That was well done,
but
you know, wasn't offensive at all. And this was not a kid's movie. This is not a kid's movie. So
yeah, but a lot of kids
you shouldn't
have seen it.
I wouldn't bring my young kids.
What's it rated? Is it rated PG-13?
I meant to look at that. It's rated PG-13.
I was kind of stunned like they missed an edit.
Right.
But now that it's PG-13, okay, I get it. But I still don't think they fit.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of innuendo and things with, like, I still liked it, even though it was in the trailer about beach me off. You know, like, if anybody's going to beach
was funny.
You off, you got to beach me off first.
Nobody's beaching off.
I mean, just that whole phrase of Ken's where it was like, you can't even beach here. You know,
hated the final scene. I'm not going to spoil it, but I hated the final scene. I thought it cut totally against the message. And I didn't find it particularly funny.
You know, one thing that kind of bothered me too is a little bit of a criticism, a very, very small criticism, but just that, you know, and I'm not saying that this was Greta's intent, but it's, or the movie's intent, but not every man is looking for a woman like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I just want to put that out there.
And there was also the sequence when she comes back and she's crying and she says, you know, I'm so ugly. And you're looking at, you know, one of the most beautiful women in Hollywood.
Yeah, well, they address that. Helen Mirren addresses it by saying, as the narrator of the film, she says, note to filmmakers, don't cast Margot Robbie if you want to make this point.
Yes.
Which was brilliant. And, you know, you speak of her crying, like Margot Robbie, to talk about her some too. She did a fabulous job, and she, you know, she had to be very emotional. I imagine this must have been a very difficult performance to give, like just to stay in that kind of up animated sort of, and then go very dark and emotional with it.
She talked about it. And, you know, they met on Saturday nights, and the Kens that were in the movie weren't allowed. It was, they literally had a girls' night.
Oh, yeah,
week.
That makes sense.
And again, they were kind of keeping each other positive, and I'm sure those must have been a blast. I think Ryan Gosling sent like a strippergram to it.
Oh, really?
To one of them.
Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed. I mean, they both gave really good performances. Yeah. I liked Will Ferrell too. I thought he could have had an even bigger part, to be honest with you.
I agree. I loved Rhea Perlman.
Rhea Perlman was great. She looks great, by the way.
She looks great.
She looks so good.
Haven't seen her in a while.
I know.
So
she looks
when
great,
I
great
saw
for that
her,
role.
It took me a couple of minutes because I'm used to the loudmouth on Cheers, the loudmouth waitress.
Carla.
She was like the antithesis of that.
Yeah, she's very sweet. Yeah.
But very well cast, very well directed. And again, it suffers from telling a little too much story where it wasn't needed, in my opinion. That's my only negative. And
if that's your only negative, that's pretty good.
Yeah, in the moment. Yeah. I would say to you, this could go, that could go, this could go. And obviously Greta made, she's a fantastic director, Lady Bird. is a great movie, very funny.
And what is she like, 34 or something?
She's I know.
I mean, she's just getting started.
What a career she's going to have. Started.
Really, everybody, all the supporting characters,
yeah.
Many I know I didn't even pick up on. You know, there was just so many
right,
people to keep
right.
track of. But I liked the narration. I liked that device. I thought that fit, you know, with the film, having Helen Mirren
it
as
did.
The narrator. This is a weird point to make, but man, do I like the new Chevy Blazer or what? That thing was super sweet. That blue one that America Ferrara was driving around in.
Jeez, I remember, but vague, because I wow. you know, it's been 3 weeks for me.
That thing has changed since we owned one.
Yeah, and I've
oh my god,
geez, I owned what, 6 or 7?
Yeah, Metascore of 80, Mike.
That's high.
Rotten Tomatoes, 88% from the critics, 84% from the audience, which feels about right, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that's bad by any stretch.
Right.
I probably would have expected it to be in the low 90s, but...
Yeah, I think because...
For whatever that's worth.
Critics are looking at things like the directing, how, you know, how the shots are laid out. Once you start reviewing movies and you know, I've been doing it since college, you kind of watch them differently. It almost ruins some movies where you just want to go in and see a dumb movie and get a laugh.
This isn't a film you have to see on the big screen, but it was, it's I would give it a thumbs up. I would say it's worth watching.
Yeah. And I think the Metascore, I was thinking between a 7 and an 8. And that's where I'm probably like a 7.5. Mm-hmm. It's not a movie I'll own because I don't see.
I think you will, because I think this thing is going to be loaded with extras.
That'll make the call.
That'll suck you in. Yeah.
That's the one thing about all these movies that, you know, it's a ridiculous collection.
I mean, listen. If you own Legally Blonde 1 and 2, you got to have Barbie in your collection.
Good Lord, I don't.
You got to have Barbie. But, I mean, Barbie in 4K on that OLED? Come on. Because visually, with the pastels and all the different, that would look
right.
pretty amazing.
And it was visually stunning. I mean, she just, and to put Margot Robbie into the case.
It was really
clever.
Yeah, there's a lot of great shots. I mean, the directing was superb. The opening 2001 sequence alone is brilliant. It's so brilliant.
Don't you think the first 20 minutes is just sets it up like you already like it. You're invested.
I was pumped. Yeah, I was like, this is going to be one of my favorite films.
You
know, but again, it suffered a little bit here and there, but nothing, you know.
Yeah.
I would go see it or you know. I would, again, I'm giving it my endorsement.
Right.
And Mike, your crow, is the crow nearby? Because you're going to have to finish eating that for dinner.
I'm
going to
eat that.
Yeah.
Yep.
It looks more like pigeon feet. I don't know if those are crows.
It is, I think, a pigeon, but.
Where the hell did you even get something like that is what I want to know.
You wouldn't believe what's in the basement of this house. I could probably find someone down there.
Yeah, I'm sure you could. I'm sure there's some Barbies down there too. Maybe you could cash in on some of those
missing
right
animals. I may
be a good
have
time
them.
For it. Well, listen. Anything else to say about Barbie?
I couldn't have been more turned around.
Yeah, never would have expected yourself to be here saying these things that you're saying today.
No way. There's no way. I thought this thing was going to be the biggest hit of the year.
But do you agree with me? We need a Ken movie.
I could see that. You know, Ken never reached the heights of Barbie as far as popularity. But I think if you owned a Barbie, you likely had a Ken.
I did like the message in there about, you know, when there's a really nice sequence between he and Margot where, you know, he's saying to her, you know, but it's we're supposed to be together. It's Barbie. It's Barbie and Ken. Mm-hmm. And she's basically telling him, like, I'm not your world. Like, I'm not
right.
You're you. You need to stand on your own 2 feet, be independent, and like yourself. And that whole point about, you know, I can't give you happiness. Like, you have to be content and happy with yourself first.
Right.
To be in a relationship with anybody, quite frankly. So that was pretty, you know, I was kind of glancing over at my girlfriend a couple times ago. I see now, you over there.
Now, obviously, the
it's like you taking notes, you get these messages.
Yeah. Obviously, the projections for this were high. I mean, they predicted 150 in the first, and it did 170.
Right and, on target.
You know, it's amazing to me. I don't know how many people, you know, every once in a while we get a review copy of a movie or
a screener, yeah.
Or I get invited to, you know, AMC to come at 11 a.m. and see. Sometimes, you know, when I was in San Diego.
Yeah, it's called the AMC Movie Club, Mike. It's $10 a month. Anybody no, can no. sign up for it. Mike when trying to pretend like he's got the inside scoop.
Well, in San Diego, I would go to a movie and they would say, come, we want you, you know, for the school newspaper. Mm-hmm. And then they would change the movie and show something that hadn't even had a, you know, wasn't even in the mainstream yet. So that, you know, I don't think they do that anymore. And they don't send out physical copies anymore because those get bootlegged very easily.
Yeah.
And it's a huge loss. But well, again, I'm eating crow. I'm admitting I was totally wrong.
I enjoy it. I like that I played it kind of down the middle with the first look. So I'm safe over here in my dream house.
Because I was like yapping so much, you could just like tamper me, and that was that was a better point of view.
Well, all right. So you get back to your crow. I gotta go check.
Tastes like chicken. Chicken.
With Midge and see what's cooking on the stove.
All right.
So, oh, see what I did there? So, I got to get some comments. Got to get some letters. Yeah.
Somebody, do you remember the person who commented in the forum? They made
a
comment.
I think the username was like Lamar or something.
Yeah, something to that effect.
Like Elmar or something like that, which, by the way, thank you for subscribing to the Old Brother YouTube channel. Yeah, you're right. A shout out because they said,
yes,
I think this is gonna. Do,
I think you're then, wrong,
boom. Right? And they were nice enough to come back 2 months later and say, "I warned you,
told you,
I told you," and they certainly did. So
yeah, they were right on.
Here's Mike nibbling on his crow as as we fade out to black here. All right, well, listen. There's your Oh Brother review of Barbie. Two thumbs up, I guess, from the Oh Brother podcast on this.
Yeah.
One.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for another episode of the Old Brother Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Smith. Alongside me, as always, my brother from the same mother, Mike Smith. And we will see you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Hi, everyone. This is Cindy Busby, and you're listening to the Oh Brother Podcast.